You are listening to the Point Harbor Church podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
Amen. And that is why we are here. Amen. Hallelujah. Bible's open to Philippians 4 and chapter 4, verse 4. And we are picking up where we left off. If you don't have a Bible, we have one for you right there in front of you. Hopefully, the one of the blue Bibles. Grab that. That is our gift to you. And put your name in it. Bring it back with you every Sunday. On that Bible, or in that Bible, it's page 1085. And if you would do me a favor, turn your buzzers off. Silence your devices so you don't get embarrassed. And then also, if you have kids in here, we have a little saying, babies overseen. Oversee your child if you would. We love having kids, like obviously having the kids in here, but if they get to where they're getting loud, we have three options for you: nursery, family room, foyer. See one of the ushers and they will show you which way you can take your child. Had one of our new parents bring their new baby, I think it was last week, said, "Pastor John, the first week we were back, I think the baby was like three days old." Some of you, you wait like 6 months to tell you. 3 days old, something like that. And they said, but we were sitting in the back, and then the baby started making noise. So they said, "We want you to know, we took off. We went out right away." I'm like, "God love you. God love you." So anyway, but in this room, two people are sitting relatively close together. And let me tell you about them, because you are probably one of them. One of them is you. And both of them have basically same beliefs, basically same faith, probably work at similar jobs, have basic, typical, similar life problems. One of them lives in consistent victory, not perfect life, but consistent victory. The other one lives in kind of consistent, constant defeat. You're one of those. And what is the difference between these two, one of which is probably you? The difference is in the mind. It's in the mind. Your mind is the number one battlefield where you are going to either win or lose at life. And Satan knows that, and that is why he attacks us in our minds. And so I'm preaching today on this, the battleground of my mind, God's tactics for my victory. The battleground of my mind, God's tactics for my victory. Because it all plays out in our minds. It really does. And even in the secular world, they understand this. You know, they have positive thinking books and all of that stuff. And it's true. If you think positive, you're going to have a more positive life, typically. Negative, you're going to have a more negative life. But it's especially true spiritually. So positively, your mind thinking right will, as a Christian, lead you into a victorious Christian life. Not a perfect life. You're going to have problems, trials, etc. But you can live and will live. You're not going to live the victorious Christian life without positive thinking. Negatively, though, the mind, the Bible says, I just have a few here, can be hardened, blinded, corrupted, depraved, poisoned, deceived, lustful, futile, and an enemy of God. Those are the negatives. But here's what God would have for you here in 2 Timothy. He says this: "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." Whoa, don't know what happened to my thing here. "But of power and of love," and what?
Sound mind.
All right, the first service did a whole lot better, so y'all need to up the game. All right, say all right.
All right.
Better. All right, a sound mind. God has given us the spirit of a sound mind. That word, sound mind, means a disciplined or self-controlled mind. But a lot of us, our problem is our mind is not controlled by us. In Proverbs 4:23, he says, "Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your what?
Thoughts."
Your thoughts. Positive, godly thoughts. Write this down. I hope you're a note taker, by the way. We have these for sale out there. If you don't have any money, just tell them Pastor John said you can have it for free. Seriously. I want you to take notes, all right? If you're a note taker, even if you're not much of a note taker, it will help you out. I had one of our ladies after the first service, she said, "John, I don't take notes very well, so I have it on my device." And she had all the notes in her device with pictures of some of the things I'm going to show you. I'm like, all right, you're an exception. God love you. So positive godly thoughts equal a positive godly life. Not a perfect life, but a positive, godly life. Negative, ungodly thoughts are going to equal a negative or ungodly life. It is really as simple as that. It really comes down to that. Well, what do you mean? Well, take the last few school shooters. Do they have positive, godly thoughts, you think? Were they quoting things they learned in Sunday school? No, they were mad, many of them at church and Christians. They were hateful. They had their little manifestos where they spewed all this satanic thoughts that turned into satanic action. And it starts in the mind. Proverbs, again, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your what? Your thoughts. Okay, but fine, John, okay, all right. Easy to say, hard to do, okay? But how do I shape, control my thoughts? Now we jump into it. Philippians 4 and verse number 4. You're like, we did 4 last week. I know, but it sets it up, all right? It's in context. So in verse 4, are you there? Say, I'm there. Amen. All right, rejoice in the Lord. How often? And again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be what? Anxious about how much? Anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to who? And then what's going to happen? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will garrison your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then he says, finally, brothers, in your margin, put input, because he's going to talk about input coming into you, into your mind. In verse 9, put output, because that's the stuff that comes out. The old computer thing. Garbage. Yeah, garbage in, garbage out. And good stuff in, good stuff out. Finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Double underline that. Think about these things. Then he says, here's your output. If you think about these things, what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Double underline those words. So you got think about these things. And then if you think about these things, you will practice these things. And then what's going to happen? The God of peace will be with you. Now get this. If Satan, and really get this, write this down. If Satan can't have my soul, so I'll suffer in eternal hell. All right, if I trust Christ and he's lost my soul, he'll be satisfied to have my mind, so I'll suffer in earthly hell. If he can't have my soul, right? Christ came and died on the cross for me, and I realized that I trusted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and my soul is Jesus's. He can't have my soul anymore. Then he'll, you know, second place, he'll take my mind, so I'll suffer a hell on earth in my life. In this huge, say huge, huge, come on folks, say huge, huge passage in Philippians, God gives all the tactics that we need to have victory in the personal battlefields of our minds. Because some of you came in here and this last week, you got beat up in your mind, or you beat you up, or you allowed Satan to beat you up, and you got all this stuff and you say, I can't control my mind. I've had several people say, man, you're talking about the mind today, man, I need this, and you do. You do. So 3 points, how many?
Three.
Renewing my mind tactic number one. These are all God's tactics for you to have victory in your mind. First, I've got to decide to pray instead of worry. I've got to decide to do that. It's not automatically, I'll worry. I have to decide against that. In verse 6, he says, don't be anxious. Again, if I have it in this color, that's in the imperative. So don't be anxious about how much? Say anything louder. But by everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. This and this are imperatives, and that's God's command. So I'm commanded to not be anxious, but instead, well, let's let the text speak for itself. And we went in depth last week. I won't re-preach it, but I want to tie these scriptures to the new scriptures, all right? So he says, don't be anxious about anything, which means shut down the worrying. Subpoint, shut down the worrying. You can shut it down. You're the only one that can in your own mind. So me telling you, some of you you're going to listen to this message, you're going to take notes even, and you're going to go home and just be the same old you. And I can't do anything about it other than pray about you and ask God to grab a hold of you and slap you around. So Shut down the worrying. Worried, anxious child of God, this is a command. This is not a suggestion. It's a command. Well, I can't control my mind. Can I? Yes, you can. That's his points with these last verses in verse 8 and verse 9. Well, how do I not worry, John? I got stuff that needs to be worried about. Yeah, write this down. I've got to give my anxiety to someone who can actually do something about it. The reason you're worried is you can't do anything about it. Some of you parents, you worry about your kids. Oh, no, you stay up at night. Oh, no, you can't do anything about it because they're, adult kids now. They ain't listening to you, and you're just worrying and worrying. Give it to someone who can actually do something about it. Peter says it this way. Humble yourself. That's the imperative. It's a command. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. All right, he's going to put you in a good place, in a good place in your mind, casting how many of your anxieties? All of your anxieties where? On him. Why? Because he cares for you. That word casting, we looked at this last week, but I love it. It means to put responsibility on. I take my responsibility that I think I have over my grown adult kids who are screwing up their lives maybe. And I say, God, I can't. They're not listening to me anymore. But you can do something about my kids that I could never do. How do I do that? Then John, he's just told you, do not be anxious about anything, but. Next subpoint, pray about how much? Everything. Everything. Shut down the worrying. I just can't not worry. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. If you give it to them, you're still doing something. You're just doing the right thing. It says, don't be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication. All right, this is praying is asking. We looked at that last week. It's not coming to God and having a little worship time and not asking him anything. Prayer by definition is asking, seeking, knocking. Supplication is pleading. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Lord, no matter what you do, I'm still going to praise you. As Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. No matter how you answer this prayer, Lord, I'm still trusting you, still worshiping you. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. This is God's FYI. God's, Lord, hey, FYI, in my life, I have this need. This is what we see Jesus doing in the garden. David doing in the wilderness when he's being chased by Saul, trying to kill him. Paul doing in prison, realizing he may die. He might not get out of this alive. And he's saying, do this. Don't be worrying. Pray about all of those worries. Give those to God. Well, how do I do that, John? How do I do that? First thing you do in the day, Christian. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And some of you, you wait to do your little Bible reading till right before you go to bed. Oh man, I gotta read the Bible because Jesus is gonna get mad at me. So, all right, And then you read it on your phone as you were laying in bed. That's not really seeking him first. So, and I've been convicted of this. All right, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So I challenge you, do this first. First of the day, as your feet hit the floor, and my feet have to hit the floor. I can't stay in bed, or I might go back to sleep. Put God on snooze. So, what do you do? I'm like, Lord, I've got a rough day. I got things that if I let them, they are going to make me anxious. And so I am going to, I need your help. I need your power. This is me, the old illustration. This is me without your power, Lord. I got no power. I'm just going to be anxious. I'm going to be frustrated. And so I need you to what? Fill me with your Holy Spirit's power, because now I can do all things. I can face whatever I have to face today, and instead of worrying about it, I'm going to give it up. I'm going to give it up. I'm going to learn a new reflex. I'm going to give it up to you, which goes into our next sub point, retrain the trigger response. We all have triggers. We've all got trigger responses. I need to retrain my trigger response, because when it first hits, whatever it is, it might be something that you think about every day, but it just comes back and it triggers you. It might be an old shame. It might be something new out of the blue. But what does it do to you in your life? Basically, it's one of these. That's it. And you all had a response. Oh. few of you kind of woke up. Saturday night service, we had a dude sitting right there. I don't remember who it is. I didn't recognize him. He's a big dude, and he was, after the music, he was asleep. And he was leaning back. His head was like this. Some of you, you sleep, but you do it kind of sneakily, and you're like, but he was, and as I'm starting to preach, I'm like, oh, I'm going to get him. And I did, man. He's, rawr! Thought we were under attack. So, you're moving along, just living your life, and out of the blue, you can't help but be triggered. Now you got a choice. How are you going to respond? What do you mean? The battle is being fought in your mind, right? And so let's go through what some of you are worried about. All right, some real life scenarios with some of you. Some of you, you're bracing yourself, aren't you? You know what it is? It's your mother-in-law. Your mother-in-law. You don't like her. She doesn't like you. She never has. She compares you to the other daughter-in-law who can cook, and his house is always looks like, you know, it's really perfection, and she's all in shape and all this stuff. She's got a degree. What do you got? And she compares you to her all the time. And behind your back, she goes to her little boy, your husband. She's like, and you know that she's cutting you down. You could have done so much better. I don't know why you didn't marry little Susie that I wanted you to marry. Mom, Susie's a lesbian. So, and you, you, in your heart of hearts, honestly, when that goes off and then you wake up in the morning and all of a sudden something makes you think about mother-in-law, and you hate her guts. And you're like, I tell you what, I know she's talking about me right now. I can feel it. I can feel she's gossiping. She's on Facebook. She's talking about me. I was on Facebook, and I posted my pictures. And then the other daughter-in-law, she posted her pictures. And what does my mother-in-law do? She like hers and just ignored mine. Why doesn't my husband cut her stinking apron strings and man up? Some of you girls. That is the anxiety response. You can't do a thing about your mother-in-law. You know who can? Huh? Some of you are like, no, who? God! So instead of, oh, my mother-in-law, you say, Holy Spirit, fill me, because I'm going to start praying some of those Davidic prayers about my mother-in-law. Lord, I pray you will smite my enemies. But you've asked the Holy Spirit to fill you. With your power, you can't do it. With his power, you can pray for your mother-in-law. And I'm not talking about her dying. Lord, help me to love that woman. It's going to take Jesus, the Holy Spirit, to help you love that woman. Some of your cases. Or whoever you got issues with. Lord, give me the power because I don't want to. Lord, you have called me, commanded me to love even my enemies. So if you command it, you never command something that you will not empower me to do. So, Lord, I pray that you will help me and you will move, because you said the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And so, Lord, my mother-in-law is not a king. She's like an ice queen. But I pray that you will grab her heart and do. And, Lord, bring her to Jesus. Other honks. You ready for another one? Yeah. Honk. Janelle told me after the service last night, she goes, Dad, cut it back, man. You had way too much fun with that thing. You get a honk in your life. Remember, you got a meeting in HR this afternoon. I bet they're going to let you go. So you got an opportunity. You can just be anxious about it, or you can ask the Holy Spirit to fill you and respond to that thing rightly and give it up and say, Lord, no matter what they do, Lord, I've tried to be a good employee. I'm not perfect and all. I know they got issues with me for whatever reason I think are unfair. But Lord, you know what? Ultimately, you are my personnel director. You run the HR department that I care about. And if I lose this job, I know you can give me a better one for more pay and better benefits. And so I'm asking for that. And you give it to him. Make anxiety alerts your trigger for prayer. So honk. What do you think? I better pray. You learn a new response. Here's Paul's battlefield tactical defense move that you have to retrain yourself to do. Renew your mind here. Are you triggered? Then I've got to give my anxiety to someone who can actually do something about it. And quit the stinking worrying about all the stuff that you can't do a thing about. And then when you do, it says the peace of God, here's the result. This is his promise. This is the promise of God. Oh, I can't write very well with this. Promise. Which surpasses all understanding, will do what? It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's his promise. If you give it to him, he'll give you a supernatural peace. If you trust in him and you do it by the fullness of the Holy Spirit, that's the result of obedience. That's the result. God's peace will guard my heart and mind. Say God's peace. God's peace. So next, after I've got to decide, you have to decide to do it. Pray instead of worry. And if you go back to worrying, you have to say, Lord, please forgive me. Please forgive me, Lord. I'm new to this. I'm gonna give everything that I'm triggered about. I'm gonna just learn, Lord, to boom, give it to you. Then number two, renewing my mind tactic number two, I have to decide to stop listening to the propaganda of the enemy. You have to decide to do that because we all tend to do it by default. And he says here in verse number 8, he lays it out, finally, brothers, whatever is what? Say it.
True.
Whatever is?
Honorable.
Whatever is?
God.
Whatever is?
Pure.
Some of you are dropping off. Whatever is?
Lovely.
Whatever is?
Mental.
If there is any, there's any, then here's the command. Think about these things. There's your grid. I have to decide, though, to stop listening to all the propaganda from the enemy, because there's a ton of it out there. In World War II, the Germans were really, really good but deceitful about this. I mean, they had the Jews. They wanted to extinguish the Jews. And they were trying to do it, you know, and not have people outside of Germany know about it. But it trickled out a little bit. You know, rumors were out there. And so they, you know, but nobody really believed him in here in America. They're like, no, nobody would do something like that. Come on, gassing people just because of their ethnicity or their religion. Come on now. That's all, you know, fake news. And but the Germans were concerned about it. So they first thing they did was say, okay, to these prisoners, I want you to write letters home. Write letters to your relatives in America even and tell them. And so they would. Oh, we're having a wonderful time here in Germany in our new camp. And they even told some of them, they said, it's kind of like a retirement community. And they, you know, so then in America, you know, Susie gets a letter from Aunt Bertha, and she's like, oh, well, there's nothing to worry about. I get the letter. She says so. Well, she had a gun to her head. And after they sent the letters, they basically killed most of them. But it still trickled out a little bit. Still, and so they were concerned, and the Red Cross said, we want to come in to one of the ghettos, the Jewish ghettos. We want to inspect because we hear these rumors. And they're like, oh, what are we going to do? Oh, I know what we'll do. They took one ghetto, and they used German ingenuity, and they totally redid that thing before the Red Cross got there. They had the whole thing staged, managed. New gardens were planted. Houses were painted. Barracks were renovated. They staged so that the Red Cross people come in. You know, the Nazis are walking next to them. And, oh, over here's a soccer game going on. All these people are smiling and having a good time. Yeah, there's a soldier behind there with a submachine gun aimed at them. Oh, over here there's a concert. There was a concert going. And a play, a dramatic play with little children. Oh, it's wonderful. Yay. Okay. Nothing to see here. They were duped. They admit that they were duped for the most part. After they left, most of those people in that stage-managed production were sent to Auschwitz and gassed and burned. People continued to die. Bring that into your life. Bring that into your life, that propaganda. Satan is the master propagandist. And many of us here, we just buy into it. We buy into it. We don't understand how we're supposed to think, so we buy into it. John, Jesus, you're saying here in the book of John, the devil was a murderer. He was a what?
Murderer.
So he wants you to die from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he's a liar. And by the way, he's the father of lies. He's started this whole thing in the Garden of Eden. Oh, God doesn't really mean that. And they bought into it. They bought into the propaganda of Satan. And that's been our problem ever since. Satan inundates us with lie after lie after lie. And here's the biblical truth. I want you to write this down. The more I take Satan's lies in, the more I live Satan's lies out. Can't help it. Garbage in, garbage out. The more I take the lies of Satan into my life, whether it's through my thought processes, my entertainment, things I'm watching, whatever, I'm taking Satan's lies in. The more I take Satan's lies in, the more I live Satan's lies out. And it's no wonder that so many of us are screwed up, all of us to a point, are screwed up in the mind department, because think of what you're inputting every day. Well, what do you mean? Well, where do I even start? Start with entertainment? The things that it's just entertainment. Entertainment. Rock music. Oh, you're preaching against rock. Oh, I'm from a child of the 70s, right? So I could quote to you every word of Hotel California. I could sing it to you, but you know. At least one half, all right, we'll be generous. At least one half of rock is sex out of wedlock. At least one half of rap is crap. At least one half of Hollywood shows are filled with Hollywood hoes. Yes? I'm offended you said hoes in church. And God's offended that you're entertained by hoes at home. And you are. Many of you are. Because we're not discerning. 78 times in the Word of God, the Lord uses the word hoes. Ho, 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 ho. It's like Santa Claus. Except he uses the full. Y'all are using the shortened version of whore. He uses the word whore, harlot, prostitute, 78 times in the Word of God. The more I take Satan's lies in, the more I live Satan's lies out. All right, John, okay. You got me. Just, all right, I want to please God. I want to think about the things that he wants me to think of. I don't want to take input Satan's lies anymore. Okay, I mean, if you're a sincere Christian, that's your heart. Some of you are going to set yourselves like flint, because we're going to lay down some things, because you'd rather choose you being entertained over you pleasing Jesus. But if you say, okay, John, give me a list. Of shows that are okay or songs that are okay for Christians to listen to or watch. I'm not going to do that. I'm not your Holy Spirit. I am your preacher, by the way. But I'm not going to do that for one reason, because Paul's done it right here. He's done it right here. He doesn't say, you know, this and that, and this, but he does show you the grid. The grid. There's some of you have been ignorant to, and others of you have known this, but you've disregarded it. And that's the reason why your mind is screwed up. Because you're taking, so many of us, garbage in, and expecting to get perfume out. And it don't work that way. It does not work that way. So he lays the parameters down for judging your input. All right, here's your choice grid. The grid for what you use to think about. And it's not only just entertainment. Some of it is just, some of you, you beat yourself up with shame. You beat yourself up with stuff you did. You did it. And it comes back, and whether Satan's a part of it or not, Satan might be, because the Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. So if he's whispering in your ear, remember what you did, though. Yeah, you say you're a Christian, but remember what you used to do. And you come to Jesus and go, Lord, some of you need to quit this. You need to quit asking Jesus for forgiveness for stuff you're already forgiven for, unless you do it again. But if you've already asked forgiveness, and you come to Jesus and ask forgiveness, I think you're kind of offending him. Lord, I'm sorry. What are you sorry for, child? Well, you know, when I did that, well, I forgave you of that. Oh, and by the way, you say you forgive. He'll come to you and say, I don't remember that, because I forgave. Well, Lord, I remember it. Yeah, that's because you're not renewing your mind. I forgive it. Lay it in the deepest sea, throw it behind my back. If I've forgiven it, then you need to let it go. That's not who you are anymore. Some of you used to be pretty wicked. I used to be pretty wicked. But that's not John Houston. That's old. That's B.C. John Houston, before Christ John Houston, amen? It's not John Houston now. Paul makes that point. That's what you used to be, but now you are redeemed, you are justified, you are sanctified by the blood of Jesus. You are going to be glorified. That's not you. Some of you need to quit claiming something you are not. Ask forgiveness one time, get forgiveness, move on. But many times Satan will come by and go, remember what you used to do? And here's what you ought to say, remember where you're gonna go? Man? He's laying down the parameters, and he lays them down. We're going to look at them real quick, just kind of blitz through them, because they're pretty simple and pretty easy to understand. Finally, brothers, whatever is what?
True.
Is it true or is it a lie? Is it true or is it a dirty satanic lie? Jesus said in John 17, talking about God, the Father, thy word is truth. Well, John, I have a hard time telling what's true, what's not. That's because you are not in the Word of God very much. That tells me that you are not very familiar with the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. That's why we tell you, have a Bible reading plan, whatever it is. I try to read through the Bible every year. You're like, oh, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You can listen to it. It's like three chapters a day. You can listen to it. Quit some of the other things that you're inputting in your mind and spend the time on something that will give you victory. Whether you read it or listen to it, thy word is truth. And Jesus also said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So spend time with the one who called himself truth. Spend time with him in prayer. Walk with him. Whatever's true. So is it true or is it kind of a lie? If it's true, man, pay attention to it. If it's a lie, sorry, not coming in my mind, not going to give you any more time. Whatever is honorable, that means dignified. Does this thought have any dignity? Or is it just kind of a trashy thought? Has this song got any dignity, or is it kind of a trashy song? Whatever is just, that word means righteous. Is it in accordance with God's righteousness? Or, you know, would I share this thought with Jesus? Would I want Jesus to, you know, would I tell this joke to Jesus? It'll certainly cut down your joke repertoire. Whatever is pure, say pure.
Pure.
That Greek word, the root word is holy. Does this have any purity or will it corrupt me? Dudes, I want you to write this down. Here's a thought. I don't have to look at my buddy's porn that he wants to share with me. I don't have to, and I shouldn't. If he comes to me and says, man, hey, look at this, whether you've done it before in the past or not, you should rather hurt his feelings than God's. Amen? Whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever stimulates or advances love, will this bring more love, that mother-in-law thing, or will this thought bring more hate, more anger? If it's going to bring hate or anger, Lord, I don't need to think about this. I don't need to think about this. I can't change her, but I don't need to think about this right now. Whatever is commendable, good report. You know what this is not? Gossip. Some of you are gossips. Matter of fact, down to it, most of us are gossips at one level or another. Some of you are gossips on steroids. You know who you are. I don't have a list, but, you know, if you ask me, I could probably think, well, so then I'd get on Facebook and gossip about y'all. See, gossip. I've never met a gossip who knew they were a gossip, though, which is really weird. They got the disease and they think that they're healthy. And this is what they do. They'll come to you and go. They'll start, hey. And usually they, hey, come here. And they look. And they might lean in. And you know, gossip's coming. Gossip, that's a gossip tale right there. And then they'll say this. Now you know me. I don't like to gossip. But, and then here comes the gossip. If you say that, you're a gossip. You know me. I don't like to gossip, but you'll gossip. Gossip's coming. They love to be the first one to tell the juicy details. And if they're Christians, they've learned to say, I'm just telling you so you can pray about it. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're telling them because you want to be the first with the juicy gossip. For some reason, that gives you endorphins. It does. Admit it. Some of you need to look in the mirror this afternoon. Look in the mirror. Close the door. Lock it. Look in the mirror and say, you're a dirty gossip. Serious. Lord, help me. Help me overcome this. Lord, this is me. I'm a gossip. I need to be filled with your spirit. Whatever's commendable. So, but when somebody's going to come to you and they do that, hey, then they start telling you, say, just stop them. Stop them. Be bold enough to stop them. All right, obey the scripture. And say, hey, look at my ears. And they're like, what? You know, look, before you tell me that, look at my ears. Okay, all right. What's the matter with yours? Do these look like garbage cans? And they're like, what? Do these look like garbage cans? Because you're about to tell me, you're about to unload some garbage, right? That I have nothing to do with. So I don't want it. These aren't garbage cans, man. These are ears, and Jesus owns these ears. Jesus don't want these ears hearing any of your gossip. Get your gossiping butt out of my house. If you do these things, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about, it's a command, these things. You're like, okay, John, that's awesome, but I'm probably not going to remember all these things, you know? So, I don't know. It's cool, but I don't know if I'm going to remember your little checklist. It's not my little checklist. It's God's. It's God's checklist. So, if you want to have victory, here's what he's saying. If you want your brain and your mind to keep having all of that, you know, frenetic activity, all of that stuff, all that depressive thing, all of those, you know, things that are messing you up. If you want to keep losing in your life, fine, then do nothing about this. But if you want to have victory, you better pay attention to how to have victory. Now, Alan Redpath, dude from the last century, he distilled it down. I stole this from him. You ought to memorize this. Practice using it. Take a screenshot of it. The lady from the first service said, look at, and she had a screenshot of this. It's the acrostic think. Think. Say think. Think. T, is it true? Is it true? If it's not true, ain't going to think about it. Is it helpful? H. I, is it inspiring? Is it inspiring? Or is it depressing? N, is it necessary? Is it necessary? K, is it kind? Nice little list, but it's the failure or victory of your life. Running your thought process, controlling your thoughts through not your grid, not John's grid, but God's grid. All right, so think on these things. When I disregard it, I'm being disobedient. I'm opening up the battlefield of my mind to the advance of the enemy, which is exactly why some of you are in the defeated state that you're in today. Obey God here. Say, obey God. Result, my mind will be being renewed by the God of peace. Romans 8, he says it this way, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think, oh, why are they dominated? Why are they? Because they're thinking about sinful things. That's why. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, what do? They think about the things that please the Spirit. It's really not that complicated. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Which do you want? Which do you want? Want a victorious Christian life? Decide to stop listening to the propaganda of the enemy. Just say, I'm not going to, okay, all right, God, please forgive me. My mind is a mess. It's a battlefield where I'm losing. I have allowed Satan to advance because of the stuff I'm allowing to come into my mind. So, Lord, no more. I'm going to fight back by your power, not by just my lack of power. And some of us, at some level, we've got to repent of the stuff we've been putting in our minds. The satanic lies, the satanic culture, satanic entertainment. Well, what do you mean, John? Would you, and some of you would, but would you share your current playlist with Jesus? Some of you, many of you would not, because you think of the lyrics of some of those things about sex, about the parts of the body, you know, that you ought not be singing about in a seductive way. And you listen to that and you're entertained by that. Would you share your private browsing? All the places you've browsed in private with the Holy Spirit? That's why it's private, right? Except guess what? If you're a Christian and you're doing that late at night, private browsing, guess who's right there seeing everything you see? Holy Spirit of God. Would you share your neighborhood gossip with God the Father? Hey, Lord, come here. Then stop it. Repent and stop it. But John, my brain is, you know, my thoughts run wild. I can't control. I can't turn them off. Pro tip. Here's what works for Pastor John. Scripture. You pray scripture. You get scripture in your heart. Remember, this is thy word is truth. So you fight error and sin with truth. 2 Corinthians is talking about this warfare we're in. Though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. The weapons, we have the weapons, say weapons, of our warfare, we're in warfare whether you like it or not, are not of the flesh but have divine power, dunamis, the divine power that raised Jesus out of the grave, the power of the Holy Spirit to destroy strongholds. Some of you have strongholds in your mind. And that's not me being spooky, that's me being biblical. Some of you have marital issues. Basically, your issue is there's a stronghold, probably in both of your minds and hearts. You're like, our marriage, man, we can't make it work. You got a stronghold. You need divine power to overcome that. You can't overcome it by your own power. You can't overcome it by counseling. Right, if we're just need these secular tips or tools, watching Oprah, Dr. Phil, you're not going to. You are going, if it's a stronghold, it has to be overcome by the power of God. A stronghold is an addiction. If you have an addiction, somebody in your family has an addiction, what have they got? They've got a stronghold. You need to pray about that, that God would use his divine power to destroy that stronghold, because we have weapons of our warfare. We destroy arguments, say destroy arguments, and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And here's what we do. I love this so much. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ. Every thought. You take that thought captive to obey Jesus. So when I have a bad thought, and you're like, John, you have bad thoughts? Of course I do. I got a past. I got things that if I let them, they would shame me. I've done things that I didn't, and you'd say, well, John, you tell us all your illustrations. No, I don't. There's a reason. But when one of those thoughts or a temptation comes into my mind, I will pray this scripture. Lord, I take this thought captive by the power of the Spirit to obey you. This thought. Right now, Lord, I can't do it. It's tearing me up. But Lord, this thought I'm taking captive because you've said that we have the power, divine power, to destroy arguments, to destroy strongholds, and to take every thought captive, Lord. This thought is not more powerful than your Spirit. And so I'm giving it to you. And when it comes back, I pray the same thing. I pray the same thing. And over and over and over again in my life, the Lord is just taking it. Will it come back? Sometimes it comes back. But I pray the same thing. Do what Jesus did. Quote scripture to the devil. If it's from Satan, submit yourself to God and resist the devil. What's the promise? What's the promise? He will flee from you if you resist him. Many of us, Satan's not used to us resisting him. He's used to us saying, okay, all right, entertain me. God has one more. Renewing my mind, tactic number three. I need to decide to live my theology. That's what he says in verse 9. Look at this. What you've learned and received and heard, heard and seen in me and Paul, practice, this is the imperative, these things. And what will happen if you do that? The God of peace will be with you. It's a promise of God. It's a promise of God. That word in the Greek is praso, means experience events as well as engage in them. So I'm supposed to practice what I see in my spiritual leader is basically what he's saying. In 1 Corinthians 11, 1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ, he said, which, if I might be so bold as your lead pastor, and I will. He's saying, follow me as I follow Christ. That's what Paul's saying. And as your under-shepherd, under the great shepherd Jesus, but you're under shepherd, I am to lead you. And this text applies here as well. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, as your leader, practice these things. Follow me, John Allen Houston, as I follow Jesus. Well, that sounds almost cultish. No, it's not cultish, it's biblical. Follow me as I follow Jesus. If I quit following Jesus, you better quit following me, right? But if I'm following Jesus, what does that mean? Take your next step. Take your next steps. Follow me in trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, like I did in that Navy barracks room in 1979. Some of you have not taken that next step. You're not following. You say, oh yeah, John, this is my church. You're my pastor. You're not following me. If you've not trusted Jesus, I mean, it's cool you're here. Awesome. Take the next step. Trust Jesus. Quit trusting in your religion. And then those of you that trust, oh, well, John, I'm there. Okay, cool. Then follow me in getting baptized, because that's the next spiritual step. Well, you know, baptism, I don't know. I'm going to wait. What do you wait? I'm going to wait until my kids get baptized with me. How old are they? 2? Stop it. Obey. Obey immediately. In the New Testament, when they trusted Jesus, they got baptized the same day, people. Some of you need to sign up for being baptized this next time. Follow me in joining this church. Join this church, came to trusted Jesus as my Lord and Savior as a young sailor. They said, you need to be baptized. I'm like, what? No, I was sprinkled. Ah, that's not real baptism. They showed me. I'm like, ah. So then I did. Followed what my pastor was telling me, which he showed me in Scripture. Then they said, oh, now you need to join the church. I'm like, ah. So I joined the church. Follow me in getting involved in serving. Some of you aren't serving. You're like, well, I'm John. I'm a member of this church. What are you doing? Where are you serving? Well, I know you're sitting. You think you're serving by what you're doing right now. You're not serving by what you're doing right now. You're sitting on your butt. The only people who are serving in here are whoever's over there playing, and these people over here, and me. Right? So start serving somewhere. Imitate Robin and me as we tithe 10% of our gross. Follow me. Follow Robin. So we tithe. Don't just tell you to do it. We do it. Above 10% on gross. Some of you aren't there. It's your next step. You're like, well, I'm a tither, John. Are you giving to missions sacrificially above that? Well, how much do you want? It's how much Jesus is all his. He allows us to keep 90 and be blessed. So we got involved in sacrificial giving above our tithes so we can plant churches across the world. Follow me in that. What's your next step? I don't say these things pridefully. I'm not there. You know, I'm not a perfect man. I'm not a perfect pastor. You know that. But I believe I can stand before you and before God and say I'm actively seeking to obey these imperatives, these commands that I've been laying down, or at least showing you what Paul's laying down. So, number one, you ready? I'm going to have mercy and grace. I've decided to pray instead of when my life honks at me. Honk. I've decided to pray and not worry. Learn that new reflex, right? Follow me in that. I've decided to stop listening to the propaganda of the enemy. Why don't you follow me in that? Well, John, I stopped listening. This has been a couple years ago. I really backed off. It was funny. We were in, I think Janelle was driving us somewhere down in Florida, and she had her on classic rock, because I used to listen to a lot of classic rock, and she just thought that, you know, hey, Dad and Mom are here to listen to classic rock, and I'm like, yeah. I said, can you change it? She goes, why? I said, some of those songs remind me of bad things. They might not be evil in and of themselves, but I was doing some evil while I was listening to them. Maybe you can listen. I can't. So I backed off of that. Not totally, but I backed almost all of. So wonderful and so satanic. And not just because, I mean, if you're looking at porn, yes, yes, yes. But I'm talking about in the morning when I get up, I had been, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning, there's a show I watch. I put earbuds on, I basically listen to it. It's political, makes me mad. So I start angry, And then if I'm, you know, 7 o'clock, if 7 o'clock rolls around and I'm not doing something else, it rolls into the next show, which says the same things with different people that makes me mad. I'm like, why am I doing that? Well, I'm not saying I'm not listening to any news at all, but the Lord convicted me recently. You know, you're trying to learn Spanish, John, so you know in these churches, and you go down there and speak Espanol, and you're putting what? And some days it's, you know, half an hour. Most days it's like 5 minutes into Spanish. Put the same amount of time that you've spent listening to politics into Espanol, and you'll learn Espanol. See? See? Here's one more. Gonna make some of you mad because this is your, you love this. I quit watching. I quit watching like a year and a half ago, I think. So I love Westerns. I love Westerns. I love good Westerns. I love good writing. There's a new show on. Man, oh, and I got into it for a while until I came to a place I'm like, yeah, no. Some of you still love it. What is it? What is it? Yellowstone. Some of you just looking at your feet. You're looking at your feet. You tell me I can't watch Yellowstone? No, I'm telling you to run it through the grid and see if you can. There is not one hero in Yellowstone. There's not one. Kevin Costner? No, he's not a hero. He's always taking people to the train station. And you people that laugh, no, you watch Yellowstone. So I quit watching it. There's other things I'd love to watch that I'm like, I just want you to know, I'm practical, right? I like Billy Bob Thornton. I think he's a great actor. He had a new show coming out. Oh, man, what? I thought I probably should run it through the grid, check it out online before I get involved in it, get sucked into it. And I looked at the review of it. I'm like, yeah, I can't do that, Billy Bob. Sorry. What's it called? Landman, right? I'm sure it's great writing. But I don't think I'd please the Holy Spirit of God by being entertained, putting that stuff in my mind. You telling me I can't? I'm not your daddy. But God is, right? So I'm just trying to live my theology, live what I say I believe. And it would do us all a wonderment to do that. And it says the God of peace, if you do that, will be with you, will be with you. So who are you following? Who are you following? Who are you really listening to? What are you putting in your mind? Garbage in, garbage out. Lord God, help us not to put garbage in intentionally. Garbage is going to come in. But help us to have a filter. Help us to say, you know what? This mind of mine is bought with the price of the blood of Jesus. It's not even my own. And so help me to sanctify my mind, my soul, my body, my spirit, which are God's. And glorify you. And then experience your peace like you promised. Help us to do that, Lord. All God's people said, amen. 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 Pastor Dan.